This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Van Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot of things to get into in today's show. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated will join us on the show. We'll go through some of the top storylines with the Chiefs. We'll also go through them in the National Football League. A lot of training camp has been about the Chiefs' offensive line. Mitchell Schwartz is going to join us in studio coming up at 4 o'clock today. We're going to talk to him about Josh Simmons. We're going to talk to him about Jalen Moore. We're going to talk to him about how he's been helping the Chiefs' offensive line. There's a lot of things to get into with Mitchell Schwartz. Happy to have him join us, friend of the show. He will be on the show today coming up at 4 o'clock. We will talk about the Royals, who have done a great job this season in avoiding being swept. We'll talk about their win yesterday over the Boston Red Sox and what that means for them, as they did exactly what they needed to do over this six-game stretch. We'll also give to you the math of what the Royals need to do to make the postseason, or at least make the final 2 months of the season interesting. There's a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. We are going to begin with the Chiefs, but before we do any of that, I need you guys to do a couple of favors for me. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers, and I would appreciate it if you just tell one person to check out the show. And number three, I need you to remember that the open of the show is now brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place, with five great Kansas City locations serving great pizza in the metro for over 25 years. So if you want some hot pizza and some cold drinks, be sure to check out our friends over at The Other Place. So today feels like the unofficial end of training camp. Now, I am well aware that the Chiefs have three more days of training camp coming up on the backside of their first preseason game. But those aren't really training camp practices in the same way that we're discussing right now. One of those days is the military appreciation. They always end that practice early and spend some time with the veterans, as they should. So I wouldn't really classify that as like a normal practice day. The Monday and Tuesday is just kind of getting back into the swing of things, but we've already seen them play. Today, to me, feels like the unofficial end of training camp. I would say that training camp was an overwhelming success because of one thing. The number one storyline this offseason regarding the Kansas City Chiefs was figuring out what the plan at left tackle was going to be. At one point, we thought it was going to be Jalen Moore, and then they end up drafting Josh Simmons. We believed, at least initially, that Josh Simmons could potentially be a redshirt and that they were going to have him kind of sit on ice, so to speak, as he got healthy. We had our answer during this training camp portion. Josh Simmons is going to be their left tackle from day one, and he has earned the job. I don't think this is something that was given to Joshua Simmons. I think he's the best left tackle that they currently have on their roster. Now, we are trying to figure out what that means for Jalen Moore, but I think we also got our answer during this training camp period. I think that Jalen Moore is coming off the bench. I think he's your sixth man break in case of an emergency type player. I think he either plays right tackle if something happens with Juwan Taylor, or Kingsley Suamataia is on a short leash. And if there is one player that the Chiefs have not shown a hesitancy to sit down if something goes wrong, it's Kingsley Suamataia. So I can definitely see a scenario in those first two games going up against two experienced defenses. I can definitely see a scenario in which Kingsley gets off to a slow start against either the Eagles or the Chargers, and they end up making a switch, and they go with what they think are their five best offensive linemen. I don't think that Juwan is on a short leash. We talked about it. He's the second highest paid player on the team. So I believe, unless barring an injury or just an epic collapse, I believe that Juwan Taylor is going to be their starting right tackle. I don't know if that's the case for Kingsley Suamataia. He is on a rookie contract. He is on a second-round rookie contract. So we're not talking about the possibility of a fifth-year option. We're talking about a guy who has already played 1 year, was instantly sat down from what his original job title was. They have told us this entire offseason that they believe that he is a guard. They have followed through on their actions. If something goes left, no pun intended, with Kingsley Suamataia, I believe they are more than ready to replace him with Jalen Moore if something goes wrong. So we had a lot of questions about the left side of the Chiefs offensive line. Those questions were answered during the training camp portion. We now know. Now it is the waiting part. I mean, we all knew the names and the possibilities, but now that we have our answer, it's the waiting part. What does that look like this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals? What does that look like against the Bears? What does that look like against Seattle as they begin this part? What do they look like in the first part of the season where they play some pretty good pass rushers and some pretty good defenses? We kind of laugh at the Giants, and I don't think the Giants are going to be very good this year, but the Giants do have Brian Burns. The Giants do have Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, they got guys that can get after the quarterback, so that's definitely going to test both of your tackles on the left and the right side. So if the number one reason for training camp this year was to establish their offensive line, they've done that at left and right tackle. The other thing is, it's been a little bit of a wide receiver injury cycle, so to speak. Among the top three guys, they have had something go wrong. Now, it's all varying degrees. I mean, today, Rashee Rice didn't practice, but we're talking about a groin injury, and I think the Chiefs are just simply being precautious. We got a long way to go. We also, I think, have a better understanding of what a suspension could look like for Rashee Rice. We talked about it earlier in the week. If you look at Jordan Addison, who was suspended earlier this week, a wide receiver who got into some off-the-field issues involving a car, he got a DUI, he was driving 140 miles an hour, he was asleep at the wheel. He's had multiple driving issues. He got a 3-game suspension. Now, what does that mean for Rashee Rice? We'll see whenever we get the information from Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, or whomever is going to be first to break that story. But I do think that we are getting closer to figuring out what that suspension is going to be for Rashee Rice. So he has dealt with an injury during training camp, a groin injury. Sounds like it's a minor thing. Xavier Worthy had a little bit of an injury scare during this training camp portion as well. They thought he had a concussion. He entered the concussion protocol, but it wasn't a concussion. He came back pretty quickly. Crisis averted. It is just always going to be a conversation with Hollywood Brown and what his injury concern is going to look like and if he's going to be healthy and available for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's also something to keep in mind. I would say, aside from left tackle and the Chiefs having that portion of their team figured out, the other big news is this is a defense that should be ready to go. You are going up against good teams, good quarterbacks early on in the season. You're going up against Justin Herbert. You're going up against Jalen Hurts. You're going up against Lamar Jackson. You're going up against Russell Wilson, who knows what you get from him early in the season, especially when you got a very talented wide receiver like Malik Nabers on the other side. So the Chiefs are going up against some good quarterbacks early on in the season. So you want to be in a position where their defense is. This defense should hit the ground rolling. We'll see what happens with the offense. We're not sure if Rashee Rice is going to be there. How healthy is Isaiah Pacheco? You're dealing with the left side of your offensive line that's just naturally going to have a learning curve. You got a young guy in Josh Simmons who hasn't played yet in the NFL and a guy in Kingsley who hasn't played a whole lot. So you go from, at one point, having an experienced left side of the offensive line to probably having one of the least experienced groups in the entire National Football League to kick off the season. That is not the case on defense at all. They are not inexperienced on any part or any portion of their defense. And it's guys that have been in this system, know this scheme, that have been a part of this thing for quite some time. You can look at every layer of the defense, whether it's the D-line, the linebackers, the corners, or the safeties. And we'll talk about this more coming up in just a bit. You also get Christian Fulton back. He was your big swing on defense. You get him back healthy for his first practice today. It looks like he could potentially be ready to go for you coming up in a month as this team gets their season going. So as we are winding down training camp, and the Chiefs, in theory, only have two practices left, and I think today is kind of the unofficial end of training camp, I would say the training camp was an overwhelming success. You came out of this knowing what the role is for Josh Simmons, knowing what the role is for Jalen Moore. You got a defense that you feel really good about. I think this went about as positive as it can be. And right now, it is simply about keeping everybody healthy. You felt good about this team last year leaving training camp. And then on the first possession of training camp or of preseason, you then lose Hollywood Brown for a large majority of the regular season. Can you get everybody right now to the finish line and get them healthy to Brazil? That is now the only question regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. There's not a lot of good that can happen for the Chiefs in these 2-3. We'll see how they handle the preseason. It is only bad now at this point. An injury can happen. Something can derail you from where you ultimately want to be. It is now about getting everybody to the finish line. I call it the wheel of misfortune. It is going to spin. One team is drastically going to have an injury that changes the course of their season. You just don't want that to be you. You don't want to lose Josh Simmons to a knee injury early on in the preseason. You don't want to lose Charles Omenihu again to a knee injury. That is going to happen to somebody in the National Football League. Knock on wood that it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. Today is August 7th. It was Travis Kelce Day earlier today on the morning show. We'll celebrate Travis Kelce. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I want to answer this text really quickly before we talk about Travis Kelce. Today is August 7th, and they were celebrating Travis Kelce Day on the morning show. Someone texted us in. C-Dot, I wanted to ask yesterday, but why aren't you guys higher on Worthy's total yards for the season? He was averaging 6 catches for the second half of the season. I think he'll be around 950 to 1050 if healthy, obviously. I want to be clear on this, and I'm happy to go back and discuss Xavier Worthy. I don't want you guys to think that I'm not high on Xavier Worthy. My biggest point on Worthy is I think a lot of the production toward the end of the season was out of necessity because they didn't have a whole lot of other options. So this year, I'm not sure if he's going to take the jump that many of you think, because I think they'll just have more options and there'll be more hands on deck. So I looked it up. In the last 8 regular season games for Xavier Worthy, he had 59 targets. So he was getting, on average, 7.5 targets a game. I just don't know if Xavier Worthy is going to get that kind of volume this season, because if everything goes according to plan, you're expecting, at this point, Jalen Royals to really start contributing the second half of the season. That's kind of been the MO of their receivers. Tyquan Thornton, I think, has shown you a little bit more than maybe previously expected, and is also a veteran, a guy who's played in the league for a couple of years. We're not also talking about last year between the two of them. So last season, Patrick Mahomes threw for 4,000 yards and didn't play the final game of the season, and 379 of those yards went to Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. I imagine many of you think that that number is going to be maybe triple the amount than it was last year. So those yards just have to come from somewhere. So if you think that Mahomes is going to throw for 4,500 yards, which would probably put him in the top 5, maybe top 6 of passing, I just don't know how you get there if Rice eats, Brown eats, and Worthy also gets 1,000 yards. Then you just mean one of those guys is just not going to have the season that you think, and that's perfectly fine if you're taking your yards away from them. We're also factoring in Travis Kelce having, what, 700 yards this year? Noah Gray having 300 yards? Like, once you start to add it all up, I just think the math gets a little bit out of whack with how many yards you're going to do. We do this exercise a lot at the beginning of the season. I understand being high on certain guys, etc., but that's at least my argument for Xavier Worthy. Is I think a lot of the volume late in the season just came from they didn't have a whole lot of other wide receiver options. If everything goes according to plan this year and Rice is healthy for the second half of the season and you get 12, 13 games from Hollywood Brown and you didn't get that last year, I just don't know if Worthy's adding 400 yards, 450 yards to his wide receiver total, not if you think Rice and Brown are also going to have big years.
Yeah, me and you are on the same page with Worthy. Like, listen, I do think Worthy is going to take a step forward. Like, I don't want this to come off like me and you are anti-Xavier Worthy.
I'm not at all anti-Xavier Worthy.
The idea that he's a 1,000-yard guy, I think, is a little bit ambitious. I think it's a little bit much. I still think early in the season, before Rashee Rice comes back from suspension, target number one is going to be Travis Kelce for Patrick Mahomes. We can argue about if it should be, but I think that's the way it's going to be early in the season. So, and then once Rashee Rice comes back, we got a 2-game sample size, them on the field at the same time. We don't really know how that looks or how that works. So you're right. I don't believe the volume is available the same way it was late in the season. So I have him at 850, which I don't think anyone should be upset about the idea of Xavier Worthy in year two as a number two wideout being at an 850 clip in at this upcoming season. That's a win for the Chiefs, especially if you think Travis Kelce is going to be another 800, 900-yard guy. That's a winning season for Kansas City, but unless injuries arise or we're way undershooting Rashee Rice suspension, I don't see how Xavier Worthy gets to 1,000 yards, but that I've been wrong before on Xavier Worthy. I had him out of the circle of trust last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best case scenario for the Chiefs would be if he's Jordan Addison. Like, funny enough, because we're talking about the Jordan Addison suspension. Jordan Addison last year had 63 catches for 875 yards and was a clear, very solid number two to Justin Jefferson. I think he'll live with that. Now, I'm not saying that Rashee Rice is going to be Justin Jefferson. He's going to have 1,500 yards the way that Jefferson did last year and is arguably the best receiver in the league. But I think everybody listening, like, you should be really happy if that's what it is. I also think with the 1,000 yards, like, if you kind of look at this, it's kind of hard to get 1,000 yards if you think that Worthy's their number two. There's just not a lot of number twos in the league that are getting you 1,000 yards. Sure, if there's a couple or guys that get really, really close, like, for example, Jamison Williams last year had 1,000 yards and then Amon-Ra St. Brown. But for the most part, just to get to 1,000 yards, you got to get the targets. You got to get the opportunities. And that's usually not what your number two does. But then if you look at kind of that next tier, it's a lot of guys who you would deem to be number two options. So that's just kind of where I think he is. Again, I'm looking at Jordan Addison. I think you take this if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. If you can lock in right now, if you could lock in Xavier Worthy for 63 catches for 875 yards and 9 touchdowns as the number two receiver, I think you're thrilled if that's the production that you get.
I think, you know what, it might just be that part time of the year. There's always a time every summer, either at camp, right before camp, preseason, where I feel like fan expectations get a little bit out of whack for what the Chiefs wide receivers and what Patrick Mahomes are going to do. Me and you both have the offense being more explosive in 2025, or at least that's the hope, that's the goal. That doesn't mean you're getting 1,000 from Rice, 1,000 from Worthy, maybe near 1,000 from Travis Kelce. That's just not how it ever shakes out in the league. So maybe this is just, we've reached the portion of the offseason where fan expectations is at 100 and me and you are trying to stay level-headed because we see this the same way. 1,000 yards feels very ambitious for year two.
Then, I mean, I think one thing we never factor in is, like, there's just going to be guys that, like, you're not factoring in that get more yards than you think. Like, last season, if I had told you this, you would have called me crazy. If I had told you that Samaje Perine would have had more receiving yards than Rashee Rice, you would have told me I was crazy. Or what happened? An injury happened. Well, Samaje Perine had 300 yards last year. So this season, Elijah Mitchell will probably be a little bit more involved in the passing game than you think. Isaiah Pacheco will be a little bit more involved in the passing game. Kareem Hunt had 200 receiving yards. Like, those yards just add up over time. 200 here, 400 here, 300 here. Those yards just add up over time. And obviously, that's how you get to 4,200 yards, 4,500 yards. So that's why I think we're talking about the guys at the top. I just don't think that Worthy's going to be the guy that gets the 1,000 yards. I think he has 800, 825, and I think he plays a really solid number two wide receiver, which is kind of what you drafted him to be. If you think that Rice is a number one, and you got Worthy as your number two, and you got Juju slash Hollywood as your number three, if everybody stays healthy and productive, I think you're more than fine if that ends up being the case. Let's transition a little bit, and let's talk about Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, it is August 7th, so talking about Travis Kelce to celebrate 8-7, I think the hope for him is to be Tony Gonzalez. Like, if you look at Tony Gonzalez's career, I mean, he never really fell off. I mean, I would say that Kelce hasn't really fallen off. Now, he's not the player that he was 2-3 years ago. He's not putting up those big kind of numbers. But, I mean, the last 5 years for Tony Gonzalez, as he is 33 through 37, he's a guy that gets you 80 catches and gets you 800 yards. That was his average his last 5 years in Atlanta. 80 catches for 800 yards and 10 touchdowns. I think you'll happily take that this season if you're Travis Kelce. What I'm most excited about for Kelce in this year's offense is I don't think that your offense needs to be expecting a 35-year-old to carry the load for you offensively. That's just not really realistic, and that they're the only team in the league that would be asking a player who turns 36 years old, week 5 of the NFL season, to be their number one. If things go as we potentially expect them to go, you go from an offense that has been very, very reliant on Travis Kelce and him putting up big numbers, you go to him potentially being your third pass-catching option. You go to Rice when he's healthy being your number one, Worthy being your number two, and Travis Kelce being your number three, which he should be at this stage in his career. I am not worried about the yards for Travis Kelce this year. That's not really a thing anymore. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It doesn't matter if he's all pro or second team all pro. That story is already written. We already consider him to be, if not the best tight end in the history of the league, then the second best tight end in the history of the league. It is about keeping Travis Kelce healthy and as fresh as possible for the final stretch of the season. So however you do that, I am open to that possibility. So if Travis Kelce this year only plays in 12 games and he's got a bump and a bruise and you sit him down from a place of precaution because you're trying to get him to the end of the season, that's not something to be alarmed about at all. That's what I want to see. I want to see a clear torch passing with Noah Gray, who we think is going to be your number one tight end heading into the 2026 season. And I want to see Travis Kelce as your third or fourth option in the passing game. If this is another season in which Kelsey's getting 122 targets and he's your number one pass catching options, that means you had serious injuries in the wide receiver room again.
I look at, and Tony Gonzalez is an elite example, because Tony Gonzalez, I know fans don't like the time that he had in Atlanta, but he was still productive very late into his career in Atlanta. I look at what Rob Gronkowski did in his final season in Tampa Bay, not the Super Bowl season, the season after that. Rob Gronkowski's final year in the NFL. Now, he was 32, but his body was 42. Like, Rob Gronkowski was the oldest 32-year-old on earth, and he only played in 12 games that year.
Gronk was still productive at the end of his season. People kind of forget that.
I know. He had 800 yards out in Tampa Bay, and he was clearly the second/third option in that offense.
I mean, I would say number three behind Chris Godwin during that time, for sure.
I'm betting Chris Godwin got hurt that season, because Chris Godwin always gets hurt.
That's
we know that. The sun's going to rise. Chris Godwin's going to get hurt. So you're telling me in 12 games, he's basically option two, 2A or three, and he gets 800 yards? That's what I want Travis Kelce to be this year. I want Rashee Rice, when he's healthy and back, to be the number one. I want Xavier Worthy, when he's healthy and going, to be the number two. Travis Kelce should not be the leader in targets for this team. I worry early in the season he will be, but in January, February, we should look back at the season-long stats and say, oh, he was just an elite second or third type of option for this team, and he had a Tampa Bay 2021 Gronkowski type of season. He might even be healthier. He looks like he's in great shape right now. Maybe he can ascend past 800 yards and play more than 12 games like Gronk did, but that should be the goal. Be a top of the line second or third option in the NFL, not, hey, I'm doing my best at 35 years old as the top option for the team.
You know that we love a good cross-board comparison on the show. You know who I want him to be? I want him to be Al Horford. Maybe a slightly better version of Al Horford. Maybe kind of like what Jimmy Butler's expectation was last year with the Warriors. You know, you weren't expecting Jimmy Butler to carry you to the NBA Finals. That's what you got Steph for. That's what you got some of the other pieces for. But you look at Al Horford at 37 years old, helping a team win an NBA championship. Al Horford shot 50% from the floor and 40% from three at 37 years old. He rebounds a little bit, plays a little bit of defense, knocks down some shots. Great, great teammate. That's all you're asking Al Horford to do. That's where I am with Travis Kelce. I genuinely don't care how many yards he has. I promise you, this is not going to be a conversation this year that in week five, I'm disappointed with the production you're getting from Travis Kelce. I honestly don't care. Your offense should not be relying on a 36-year-old in the National Football League. It's a young man's game. This top text: Kelce this year is all about touchdowns and third down catches to convert for first down. Let him dominate that, and I won't care if he only has 600 yards. That's where I am. Is Travis Kelce doing what I think his role is? You're not relying on Travis Kelce to give you eight catches for 150 yards. I think that time in his life is over. Can Travis Kelce give you five catches for 61 yards, and two of those were on big third downs that when Mahomes starts to do Mahomes things and he starts to move and he starts to scramble and he's looking for opening, Travis Kelce is old reliable right there in the middle of the zone. He catches the ball, you convert for a first down, and you keep a drive alive that you get points. That's how I think you can measure Travis Kelce's success in 2025, and that's what I think his role should be in this offense. He's not explosive enough to run past people. He's not out jumping anybody. This is kind of what he is. He's got that old man game, to keep the basketball analogy. That guy's not beating you off bounce. That guy's beating you off intelligence. That guy's beating you off smart and knowing how to use angles and knowing how to position his body. That's how I think Travis Kelce can best help the Chiefs this year.
I don't want to speak for the entire show, but I can speak for me. We will not be talking about Travis Kelce production unless his role is very different than what we expect. If it's week five and he leads the team in targets, and it's clear that he's pass catcher one on this team, and he is failing to produce at a pass catcher one level, I am open to have a conversation about his production in that world. But as long as he is, as long as the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, me, you, Andy Reid, we all see Travis Kelce's role being what his role should be, if he is in that role, I'm going to have no complaints about production this season. None. Zip, zilch, nada. Sign me up for 600, sign me up for 900, cool. Rashee Rice is target guy one or 1A based on suspension, that's fine. But if it's week five and they're throwing him the ball and he's playing as many snaps as he did last year, then we can have a conversation about his production. But as long as they properly put him in a correct role, this show will not be speaking about his production.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, what do you mean that time is over? He just did that in the divisional round in January. You're right. And then they played two Super Bowl contending teams. He had two catches for 19 yards and four catches for 39 yards in the Super Bowl and looked like he was going half speed for most of the time. So, I mean, last season, I mean, Travis Kelce had two games in which he had over 100 yards. He had over 100 yards in the game against Tampa Bay, and he played exceptionally well against Houston. I don't know why Houston left him as wide open as they did. Seven catches for 117 yards. He didn't really give you much in the two biggest playoff games that the Chiefs had last year. Again, I'm not here to complain about the production from Travis Kelce this year. I just think we all know what that production is this season, and I'm cool with that. Perfectly fine with that if that's going to be his role on the team. Can he be a five catches, 65 yards, score a couple of touchdowns this season and be healthy and available for the postseason and use his veteran experience to be a difference maker? If that's what Travis Kelce is going to be this season for the Chiefs, I don't think you can be unhappy about that role in his final season with the team. We'll get back to football coming up in just a bit. I want to give you guys some royal math as we end this segment. So I saw this tweet, and let me pull it up for you and give you credit for who came up with this. So this is from Jarrett Kohler. Shout out to him. So he, like us, is doing a push for the postseason update for the Chiefs, or for the Royals, excuse me. And he's going off sort of the same numbers that you and I had. Remember a couple of days ago, Rob, where we said, if you want to be the third wild card team, what does that mean? You need to win at least 86 games if you want to be the third wild card team. If you don't get to 86, then you're not making the postseason. You're not getting to the postseason with 83. That's not a realistic number. So you got to get to 86. In order for the Royals to get to 86 wins, they need to go 29-18 the rest of the way. Well, what does that mean? Let's break it up. Let's break it up against the good teams and the bad teams. For the bad teams, they got to go 17-7. So that means in a series against the White Sox, you cannot afford to lose those series anymore. A series against the Nationals that you got coming up, you cannot afford to lose those series anymore. A team like Minnesota that is playing down, that basically sold off parts at the deadline, you guessed it, you can't afford to lose those series anymore. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So you got to go 17-7 against the bad teams. So you got to get red hot against the teams that you're supposed to beat. And then you got to play 500 baseball against the good teams, 12-11 the rest of the way. They just went 3-3 against teams that are over 500. That's why yesterday when you and I were having this conversation, I was saying, I don't care how you do it. You just can't afford to get swept by the Boston Red Sox. You cannot afford to undo the hard work that you put in Toronto to win that series. So you finish 3-3. That's perfectly fine. You live to play another day. That's the math for the Royals if you want to get them to 86 wins. They got to go 17-7 against the bad teams, so they got to be red hot against the bad teams, and they got to play 500 against the teams that are 500 or better. They got a couple of series against the Tigers. They got a couple of series against some other good teams. You just got to play 500 baseball against them, and then you got to gobble up wins against the dregs of the league.
So, in a weird twist of fate, I feel like I'm more concerned based on those stats about the under 500 record. 17-7 is really difficult to achieve, even if you're playing the Rockies. Denny says it every week on this show, and Denny has forgotten more baseball than most people will ever know. It is very difficult to win major league games because the other team still has major leaguers. No matter how bad, and that's why a guy who watched the 06 Royals somehow win 50 plus games. Like, bad teams still win games. I'm actually not worried about the 12-11. That seems very doable with the good ball the Royals are playing. 17-7 isn't just winning a White Sox series. It's a sweep somewhere in there. It's not just, hey, you took 2 or 3 from the Nats. You got to pull a sweep somewhere. Like, winning a series is the starting point, but 17-7 would include some, not only did you win games against bad teams, but you took care of business and never lost. And I don't remember the last time the Royals swept a team out of, you know, just went out and swept a team. That doesn't mean they're not playing better ball or anything like that, but 17-7 against bad teams seems very difficult to achieve, even despite the success they've had against bad teams.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just simply telling you how this is going to be an uphill battle if you still have playoff dreams. If you don't have playoff dreams, then don't worry about it. Hey, can the Royals finish out the season strong? Can we see some of the young guys? Can Jack Caglione come back? Can he have a good September? Maybe Carter Jensen is a September call-up. I mean, there's two ways to look at this. It's either for vibes or competition. If it's for vibes, then cool. That's perfectly fine. I got no issues with that if that's what we're doing with the Royals. Hey, I'm not worried about the Royals making the postseason. Whatever happens, happens. I just want to see them go out there, compete, finish out the season strong, and play some of the young guys. All right, cool. Then they're not getting 86 wins this year. If you want to find a real pathway on how the Royals can do this thing, they're not completely out of it. You got to get going. That's the math. They got to get to 86. They got to be one of the 5 hottest teams in baseball if that's what we're talking about. That's what that number is. You got to be one of the 5 hottest teams. You got to play above 500 baseball against teams that have beat you pretty regularly this year. And then you got to get red hot against the bad teams. You got to pull off a couple of sweeps. You got to dominate some of those teams, and you really got to catch fire in the last 45 games or so this season. Coming up at the top of the hour, Stephen A. Smith is skeptical about the Chiefs. So is Colin Cowherd. We'll also be joined by Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs as well. Coming up on the other side, you know what? Why don't we talk a little college football? We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We'll get to college football here coming up in just a bit. This number actually surprised me. So, you know, the gambling information is all public. They have to post all the information. Did you know that in the state of Colorado, I just saw the one state, so this might differ from state to state. Did you know that the NFL wasn't the most popular bet sport in the state of Colorado? That would have surprised me. So this was the top five. Men's college basketball, tennis, baseball was number three, pro football, and then basketball was the number one most bet sport. I'm assuming that's just the sheer number of volume of games. There's just far more NBA games than there are NFL games. That the NFL, if you go like average bet on a game, I bet it blows everything else out of the water. But the fact that there's only, what, 250-something NFL games, and then there's 2,000 NBA games, I'm assuming it's just a volume number, and that's how basketball, I mean, it was over, I'm sitting there looking at it, it was $1.4 billion that were bet on the NBA in the state of Colorado alone. $1.4 billion was bet on the NBA. That's a big number. It's just one state. That's a big number.
I mean, even outside of football, every other sport you mentioned is volume sport. Baseball, I mean, tennis, you can bet on like five different matches a morning. Yeah. So like, it just, in college basketball, if you really want to be betting on college basketball, you can do it every night. You can take Canisius against Wagner. You can do it every night. So it speaks to me more about the amount people are gambling, like on a per game basis, more than the amount of actual, you know, they're putting into a bet, because it seems like it's volume more than, was it quantity over quality?
I was very surprised to see that college football also wasn't in the top five. I would have guessed that college football was a much higher number. In the state of Colorado, more money was bet on table tennis in the last fiscal year than on college football. It was around $279 million that was bet on table tennis. It was $210 on college football in the state of Colorado. Pretty interesting numbers. Just wanted to share those with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll hear from Colin Cowherd. We'll also hear from Stephen A. Smith. I want to play for you what both of those gentlemen had to say. But let's talk a little bit of college football. You know what? I am happy that the conversation with North Carolina is on the field and not off the field. For a 2-month stretch there, we were very, very concerned with Bill Belichick's relationship. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought it was funny. I participated in the jokes, but you know what? I don't care about Jordan Hudson anymore. With college football less than 3 weeks away and us getting our first look at North Carolina, I want to see if they're any good. Here's Heather Dinich. She was on Get Up. She considers North Carolina to be the biggest mystery of the season.
North Carolina is the biggest mystery in college football. Even Bill Belichick doesn't know what he has. His players haven't really put on the pads yet, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines. These guys have to go against each other and hit each other. This is an unheralded roster full of transfers, unproven playmakers at different positions all over the field, and an entirely new defense. The biggest thing they have going for them is a manageable schedule. It's winnable. It's about 70th in the country in terms of difficulty. They don't leave the state more than three times.
I still think the biggest mystery in college football is Arch Manning, just because we haven't seen a whole lot of him. But Bill Belichick is certainly in that conversation. If you said Belichick, I wouldn't fault you. I think Belichick really needs this in a lot of ways. The perception around Bill is that you are a Tom Brady creation. And when you don't have Tom Brady around, you're just an average to below average head coach. You got a chance to now go down to the college ranks, and you are not at one of those schools. It's not like Bill Belichick is the head coach at Ohio State or LSU or USC, one of those programs where the talent just attracts itself. You got to really do some work at North Carolina. If Bill Belichick can figure out a way to get that team into the conversation with the Miami and a Clemson, SMU gets them in the conversation to be a team that competes for a college football playoff berth and could possibly win the ACC, that's a big positive for Belichick. Or I know that we widely consider Belichick to be the greatest coach of all time, and in a lot of ways, he probably is. If this thing flames out for Bill Belichick and he's there for 2 years and there's more Jordan Hudson news and more Jordan Hudson funny stories that pop out, and you go 5-6, 4-6, 4-7, and you flame out at the end without Tom Brady in New England and you flame out when you tried to go do it yourself at the college level. And now, because of NIL, because of the transfer portal, I mean, it shouldn't take you that long to get good. For all the jokes about Colorado that they took in year one, they won 8 games the second year and went to a bowl game. You can turn this thing around quick with some personality and going out and working that transfer portal and working the donors to get some NIL money. And then if Bill Belichick fails at this North Carolina thing, I'm telling you, the jokes are going to fly for Bill. They're going to fly. He is a person who has been very, very close to the vest, very private, at least while he was the head coach of the New England Patriots. And now it seems like we know everything about him and his relationship now that he is the head coach in college. It's one thing to do that and you're winning. You can only joke so far. Carolina wins 9 games this year. I don't really think we're going to get many Jordan Hudson jokes. You win 4-3 games this year. Your team doesn't make a bowl game. And we're making fun of you because of your little 20-something-year-old girlfriend. I'm telling you, it will not be fun this season for Bill Belichick if they don't win. The other story in college football, I actually think that we've known this for quite some time. So Archie Manning, Arch's grandfather, came out and said that Arch is not going into the draft this year, that their plan is to stay at Texas for these next 2 seasons and allow him to be a college quarterback. I've kind of thought that was always the plan. Maybe I'm off in this, but everything that the Manning family has done regarding Arch has been about the bigger picture. If the goal was to get him to the NFL as fast as possible, I don't think he would have been at Texas. Last year, Arch had the ability to transfer and be the starting quarterback anywhere. He could have been the starting quarterback at Ohio State. No disrespect to Will Howard, but trust me, if they had a chance to get Arch Manning, if Arch was interested in transferring there, they would have taken him. He could have been the starting quarterback at Georgia, more than likely, over Carson Beck. Miami probably would have taken him over Cam Ward if Arch was super interested in doing it. Arch had his choice last year and chose to stay. It was never really much of a rumbling if Arch was going to hit the transfer portal, if Arch was thinking about leaving. You've now stayed this year. Everything that they have had has been kind of dedicated to the process. I also, just from a football standpoint, will tell Arch to stay. One of the problems that I think has happened with the lack of the development with some of these young QBs is you didn't get enough time in college football. You didn't get enough live reps. You didn't get enough live bullets. I know we only talk about the 1 year with Joe Burrow, but he played the year before. He played 2 years of college football. Mahomes played a lot of college football. Josh Allen played a lot of college football. Lamar Jackson, like, you played, you hung around, you learned a system, you learned a scheme. You got a chance to read real live defenses. I'm sure Arch has been doing all the mental work that needs to be out there. Man, you got to play football to get better at it. It's not really something you can simulate the way that you can with the other sports. So I've kind of always thought this about Arch based on how they've moved. Now let's see what happens. If Arch goes out there and win the Heisman Trophy and he could be the number one overall pick this year, are they going to have him go back to school? I don't know. But I kind of think they have a plan for Arch. I think that everybody is on the same page, and I think that page is him just being a kid for as long as he can. For, I would say, the most popular player in college football entering the season, the most discussed college football player, we don't really know a whole lot about Arch, and he's not really all in our face. He's not really in a bunch of commercials. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's not sitting down for a lot of podcasts. Like, they're not really playing it like he's this super famous, super popular college football player. They're kind of letting him be 19, 20 years old. I think they're going to let him be that for as long as they can. And then when you go to the pros, you're a professional now. You're an adult. And let's see if you can be the face of an NFL franchise. But I'm not really that surprised if the plan is going to be, hey, we're not worried about the money. We know he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league. It is about being in a place that he loves. It's about letting him be a kid. It's about letting him play college football and enjoy this time in his life for as long as he can. You got to remember, Eli stayed and Peyton stayed. Peyton had a chance to be the number one overall pick. He went back to Tennessee for another year to try to go win a Heisman Trophy. I would not be surprised if his nephew, Arch, ends up following the same path. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will hear from Colin Cowherd. We will also hear from Stephen A. Smith. Colin thinks that the dynasty is dead in Kansas City, and so does Stephen A. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.